Can you please state your name?
Richie Hammond.
How old are you, Ricky?
22.
How old were you when this case was filed?
18.
And where are you from, Ricky?
Broadus, Montana.
Do you live in Broadus?
I live on a ranch in Moscow, Broadus.
And have you lived there your entire life?
Pretty much since I was four, yeah.
Did you go to school? Did you go to college in Broadus?
I just went to the grade school, middle school in Broadus, high school in Billings, and then I went to college and
And what was your major, Ricky?
Environmental science.
What were some of your favorite college classes?
I got to take quite a few classes in different fields, but I really enjoyed my science classes the most. Hydrology, atmospheric dynamics, geology.
Please tell them I'm not asking to speak up.
Okay. Are any of your relatives from Broadus?
My dad and brother are there, and then we have some other relatives in town.
Are any of your grandparents from Broadus?
My grandma and grandpa were. They grew up outside of Broadus on ranches, they bought the motel in Broadus in the 1950s. Family has been there for a long time.
For those of us not familiar with Broadus, can you just briefly describe the town and where it is?
It's in the southeast corner of the state. There are about 450 people in the town and about 1,000 in the county. It's a ranching community.
And can you please describe your family's ranch?
You can see the picture. There's a river, and that's on one end of it. And there's a house, and we have fields with crops and then hills too.
Your Honor, the displays that are being presented are not exhibits. They haven't been produced pre-trial, and there's no foundation for them.
These are not being introduced as exhibits. They're just demonstratives to aid Ms. Held's trial testimony, and there were those three exhibits that we discussed that we'll get to.
So are you rejecting it?
I guess before you show things, you should have her notice how she recognizes it.
Okay. Understood, Your Honor. So, Ricky, you're telling us about your ranch.
Yeah. I'm just in this picture. It's my family's house and our barnyard area.
And did you grow up riding horses on the ranch and herding cattle?
Yeah, grew up just like very involved in the ranch operations, working with livestock, Maine, it's intense. And yeah, just, you know, just grow up outside of the river and pasture just lots of space.
How old were you when you started riding horses and herding livestock?
I've been riding since I was a baby, like with my dad, and then, my brother and I were four when we started. Herding livestock or taking us up into the hills to cattle.
Ricky, you mentioned pivot fields. Can you please describe what we're seeing in this picture?
Yeah, right here is one of our pastures with a pivot that's a form of irrigation. It's efficient. We used to irrigate some runoff or pumping from the Powder River, but now we have these.
And do you recognize this photo?
Yeah.
Do you know why you installed pivot fields on your ranch?
It's just more efficient and you can put whatever amount of water you want and it's even, just useful to really pull that.
You mentioned having horses and livestock on the ranch. Do you recognize these pictures?
Yes.
And can you please describe what we're seeing here?
Yeah, on the left is our two horses now, Minidoggy and Nemo, and in the back is the tributes that our ranch is named after. It's close to the house. To the right, it's some cattle on the ranch. It was in the back.
Do you prefer outdoor activities growing up on the ranch?
Yeah, I was outside all the time.
Did you ever go to rodeos growing up?
Yeah, I've seen 4-H and rodeos. This was just for the fun of it.
Can you please describe what we're seeing in this picture?
Yeah, I'm about to get left off.
Ricky, what's the primary source of your family's income?
It's the ranch and the hotel.
Can you please describe what the motel business entails and start by describing what we're seeing here in this picture?
Yeah, here's my family's hotel office in Brothers. And in town we have a motel in different buildings. Lots of rooms are rented out in houses.
Have you worked in the motel, in your family's motel business?
Yeah, watching the desk, cleaning rooms, maintenance things.
And who tends to stay in family's motel business?
Sorry, what was that?
What type of clients come and stay at the motels?
Just Montanans, back to tourists, Montana, Nelson, Glacier, South Dakota. Hunting seasons are really good season in the fall. Also, people just like going to the streets, motorcycle rally. Those are a big time, and like, summer is more busy than winter. But yeah, sometimes we'll get crews, like firefighters or chief planners, or locals and truck drivers.
Ricky, when did you first learn about climate change?
In high school. That's when I started taking more science classes, being really interested in environmental science and other classes and just understanding how our world works. I found really interesting and learned about climate change. And in classes, also in my own research, and I saw how they're looking at this.
Did you study climate change while you were in college?
Yes.
And have you studied the hydrology of the Powder River that runs through your family's ranch?
Yeah, the USGS has some flight surveys on the Powder River since the 1970s, and so I've gotten to work with the hydrologists that have done that. And even just like being younger, I would like go out and follow them around and learn about what they're doing in science and kind of connecting that to my home. And then more recent years, I've done internships with them, helped them do surveys, and there's a study on the rationale of these along the Powder River last spring.
Do you think you've been personally harmed by climate change?
Yes.
Can you briefly just describe some of those impacts that you've experienced?
Yeah, some of the impacts are just good. Wildfires, drought, flooding, more extreme weather events, such as windstorm, hail, changes in wildlife behavior.
You mentioned wildfires. Do you remember the Ash Creek fire from 2012?
Yes.
Can you please describe, do you recognize this map on the slide?
Yes.
Can you please describe it?
It's on the highway between kind of grasses and hills, and there's ashland and flame dune there. This was, in 2012. Shows and I was pretty young, but I remember just being on the ranch in the house, and the wildfires just burned like 70 miles of power lines, so we lost electricity for about a month. And so we had electricity or running water in the house, and they were so stressed going trying to find water, and also the drought, like trying to find grass.
What was it like for you living on the ranch during that period of time?
Yeah, it was stressful and just kind of, yeah, you kind of have to keep going and, yeah, just go about daily life and try to make anything work and protect your livestock as much as you can.
Do you recognize the map on this slide here, Ricky?
Yes.
And what are we looking at here? Can you please describe it?
Well, that's like the area of the fire and then to the left, but that was a recent picture that shows the ranges. Yeah, this is about going to fire more recently. And yeah.
And can you describe in a little bit more detail what I'm seeing on the picture on the left side?
Yeah, just a burn area. By the highway, to call outside of Rogers.
And where does that highway go?
It goes like my valley, it takes it from Ross to Billings and passes through different towns like Coingee and Ashland, mostly.
How did the Landier fire impact your life on the ranch?
Fire wasn't on the ranch, but there's still a lot of smoke in the summer of 21. There's a lot of smoke most of the days in the summer. And, on the ranch, I was busy doing projects like fencing and, in town, working on the motels. So I just remember, like, going between the buildings and there's ash falling from the sky and people in the towns, right, Ashland and Reindeer, they're evacuated from that, and the elementary school and the goddess. And the highway is closed, which affected our motel business because no one was coming through. And so it's just all summer, and Kansas getting air quality alerts on the phone, heat alerts. That summer we had 310 days, 3 days, and that was a record in Broadus. But yeah, you just have to keep working through it and that must smoke.
Why did you have to keep working through the heat and the smoke on the ranch?
There's just always things to do on the ranch, yeah. And things to get done, and that's our livelihood, and we can't stop.
What's it like working on the ranch when it's smoky and 110 degrees out? Take your time.
Yeah. Yeah, you just have to go and like you feel heat and the events you're worried about. Like we had a welder out and we were worried about fire starting from all the dry grass and yeah, just breathing in the smoke and throat in your throat and eyes. And also just fires happen, but like you know that whether the actions we're taking and but knowing that my state government is taking actions.
Reflection not responsive. The question was, what was it like working on the ranch in the smoke and 110 degree days and now we're...
All right, sustain.
I'll ask you another question. Ricky, can we see the next slide? Ricky, do you recognize these pictures? Can you please describe what you're seeing in these pictures?
On the left is my ranch and the yard, shows the smoke. And then, on the right is the fire close by.
Did you take these pictures?
Yeah.
Do these pictures accurately represent what the smoke is like on and around your ranch?
Yes.
And these are marked as plaintiff's exhibits P111 on the left and P112 on the right. Ricky, you're talking about working in the ranch during smoky conditions. Can you describe a little bit about how that affects your health?
Yeah, I talked a little bit about kind of the physical effects of feeling it. Ranch work is fine anyway. But yeah, it's an adding factor. It's not just keep working to it. But what I was going to say before is it also has a mental impact. Knowing that, do something different, change my work.
Ricky, you mentioned receiving heat alerts on your phone. Can you please, do you recognize what we're seeing on this screen now?
Yes.
And what are we seeing here? Can you please describe it?
Yeah, there's a screenshots I took on my phone.
Can you please read the highlighted language?
What dangerously hot conditions dangerous from 100 to 110 degrees possible.
And is this an accurate representation of the heat alerts that you received on your phone?
Yes.
And this is Marcus Plaintiff's exhibit P16. So Ricky, you mentioned earlier on sometimes having drought conditions on the ranch. How has drought impacted the Powder River that runs through your ranch?
In 2007, the river dried up enough to stop flowing, and there was just more water variability. We rely on the river to water our livestock and the groundwater connection that runs there. And then some lobsters.
Do you recognize this picture?
Yes.
Thank you. Can you please describe it?
It's up at the end of the ranch. Looking back at it, just about the Powder River.
Has the river ever dried up or come close to drying up?
That's the 2007 thing. Enough to stop forming.
Does the Powder River ever flood?
Yeah. And this is showing my house, just bank erosion. In 2017, there was a flood that eroded quite a bit of bank and up to the 50-year fence and undercut it. And then it's eroded more since. We built this fence probably 50 feet away, and it's already up to the beginning. That shows erosion. When we get floods in the spring, there's the trees in the background, and then the house is to the left. So one time the water got pretty close to the house.
Has climate change affected winter on the ranch?
Yeah. Just
a stretching culture speculation and foundation.
Ricky, does it snow on your ranch in the winter?
Yes.
Have you noticed any changes in snowpack over the years?
Yes.
And what types of changes have you noticed?
The snow doesn't last through the winter. We'll get snow, but with the warmer temperatures, it just doesn't last. And like with the river, this last January, it was open during January. And I remember being little and it was still this huge blocks of ice coming into March on the banks of the river. And you just don't see that anymore. And throughout the winter, we'll have 40 or 50 degrees, three days, so it's some changes.
Is the snow important for life on the ranch?
Yeah, well, that provides water and this is a picture of a martek on the ranch, but especially in the hills, we have cattle there and the tents are spread apart. And so we've always And the ranch is in that area of almost relied on the reservoirs in the hills, which are fed by, you know, just like snowpack, and that has always lasted longer and into the summer, to water the cattle. But, yeah, it's just been dried up and we don't have that last of the summer, to water them. So we have to walk farther between tanks, which are expensive to install. And, yeah.
Is this an example of one of the tanks that you, your family has had to install on the ranch?
Mm-hmm. Not that my family installed that, but yeah, it's on the kind of road.
How does the water shortage affect the cattle on the ranch?
Yeah, this, it's more uncertain how we're going to get water and to them, just like, since I've worked with wildfires and no electricity, like, you just can't get water to them, or like, with drought, they have to walk by them and water and feed.
Does that result in cattle that are less valuable?
Objection, speculation, foundation?
You have relay of foundation?
Mm-hmm.
Do you sell the cattle that are raised on the ranch?
Yes.
Does the lack of water impact the health of the cattle?
Yes.
Does the diminished health of the cattle make them less valuable?
Objection, foundation, speculation.
So are you involved in selling livestock and the sale of the livestock?
I've been more involved in the past. Right now we're leasing out so the grass, and so other people are running cattle and doing the hay. Kids affect us out. I have health problems that's fixed on the cattle. My brother and I have been away for us in college, so we can't run that all year round. But yeah, growing up, I just being around that.
So did you observe, what did you observe about if there's more grass with the wetter year?
Yeah, but can also have that in healthy year.
And if it's dry, what did you observe?
Yeah, I've seen skinny cows and like dead cattle.
Okay.
Thank you, Ricky. With respect to the motel, How does the lost income from the ranch affect you personally?
Well, it's my family's livelihood. So, yeah, it affects me, and I'm still just out of college and dependent on that income. And, yeah, and also just, like, talking with my dad and hearing, like, stresses.
Objection, hearsay.
Sustained.
Can you just describe a little bit about the personal impacts to you from the lost income?
Yeah.
If you're done, that's fine too.
Yeah. That's helped me, like, through my college and my personal expenses. What I'm saying is, like, just mental health aspect, knowing my family's financial situation.
Can you please describe how climate change has impacted your mental health?
Yeah.
Objections, honor, speculation, foundation as well.
She just testified to the impacts of climate change on her mental health. I'm just looking for a follow-up question.
I think this is an area.
Well, I think the state's point is that we don't know if it's climate change per se or what, but so maybe if you could tailor the question a little bit more to the weather, the heat, the drought, the whatever.
Sure. Ricky, do you think living on a ranch and going through the drought conditions and the wildfire conditions that you've described already have impacted your mental health?
Yes. I can't talk about how broader climate change is impacting them.
Well, they're objecting because you haven't been qualified as an expert in climate change. If he wants to lay more of a foundation, maybe, but there's going to be experts that are going to testify. So
I'm just looking for her own personal experiences with these impacts. Just a moment, I'll ask you a question. Ricky, how does the heat, drought, and smoke make you feel emotionally?
It's just stressful because that's, you know, my life and the moments there. And that's, it impacts the well-being of myself, my family, my community, and people in the state. I learned about climate change in my studies, and I see these impacts and know, like, the science behind it, and we'll hear different experts, and they, like, know what they're talking about. And so, yeah, it's stressful seeing that. And it, like, just being obvious what's happening. So, yeah, it's stressful seeing all those things.
How would you feel if you were successful in this lawsuit?
I would feel more hopeful for the future. And the future, ranch and more hope for having a stable climate. Helpful environment, following the values that people before us have laid out. And I know that climate change is a global issue, but Montana needs to take responsibility for our part in that. And you can't just blow it off and do nothing about it. This is just one step in the right direction, and it would be one step forward. And it means so much for our futures. This is something that's happening now, and it's affecting people down.
Last question, Ricky. Are you optimistic about the future?
Yes. And sometimes when I think about all these things about climate change, about its impacts, it's stressful, and it's you, but then, you need to do something about it moving forward. Just can't, let fear rule what you do. So, this case is really about love for, the people here in our state and my home. And, I just see and, know there's so many good people working for our futures. With those values in mind, more of it's happening. We want to care about our neighbors and the land and the resources, people live here, and we want to protect that for future generations. I'm optimistic because I know that we can get through this gap in technology and knowledge and empathy and the willingness to do the right thing. We know we need to do this, and we've known about these impacts for half a century, and we just need to start.
Thank you, Ricky. I have no further questions. And at this point, I would like Your Honor to move into evidence plaintiffs' exhibits P-111, P-112, and P-16 that Ricky discussed.
No objections, Your Honor.
P-111, P-112, and
P-16
are
embedded?
Yes.
Thank you. I don't have any questions for Ms. Held. I would like the court to take judicial notice of the agricultural economic impact on the Montana State University of the Powder River County and also the USDA 2017 Census of Agriculture in Powder River County. We know this week they come up as what they are. Listen.
Your Honor, we haven't had a chance to review this yet. We would like to reserve reviewing it in a new state. As soon as possible, what our position is.
Okay. And Ms. Held, you have no questions?
No questions for her.
So you may shut down.